At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It's the JT and Looney podcast
in 3, 2, and 1,
episode 178,
powered by our friends at Bet Online. JT, lights, camera, Jackson, and I, in a matter of seconds, are going to break down Shake and Bake, Sauce and Toss, some of the movies that have come out this summer, as the final part of the JT and Looney summer series. Lights, Camera, Jackson is an Emmy Award-winning movie reviewer and probably the best out there right now. Ebert's dead. Siskel's dead. I have had no one to go to when it comes to movie critics. I'm a big admirer of movie critics. The same way some people can always pick a good bottle of wine, I don't know how to do that. I do know how to make sure I never see a bad movie. Lights, Camera, Jackson, many times, guides me and steers me towards the good ones. And sometimes I see good ones and I disagree with him when I hear his reviews, but he's terrific and he's coming up shortly. But first I have to tell you about BetOnline. You've heard me talk about it before. BetOnline.ag is the hypertext transfer protocol, the HTTP. Go there. Look, we got football, the NFL, a week away, less than a week away. How exciting is that? And you can bet on some great futures. I'm sure you can get some great odds on Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl. Or the Arizona Cardinals, who can't even name their starting quarterback. And once they do, you're going to say, who the hell is that? With a wink and a nod to the Atlanta Falcons and the Indianapolis Colts, who have mystery guys starting at quarterback. I digress. Go to start betting on football. And if you've never opened up an account there before, you get a 50% welcome bonus just for being friends with JT and Looney. Just type in the promo code BELIEVE, as in the Believe streaming network, BLEAV. Believe, and you'll get that 50% sign-up bonus. Put down $1,000. They'll give you $500. Then you'll have $1,500 in your account. That's how it works. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome to the summer podcast series, JT and Looney, the summer blockbuster series, as we bring in Jackson Murphy, the acclaimed film critic, the media maven, our great friend. Good to see you, my buddy, as we're wrapping up the summer. You look great.
Hello, thank you. I appreciate that. And now I'm a quarter century old. I'm getting old.
Wow. Yeah. In America, knew you as a niño, as a muchacho. Now we know you at 25 as an hombre.
That's right. That's right. It's good to see the both of you. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, let's talk all things of the wacky, unpredictable summer that was in the movie entertainment world.
Yeah, and I want to begin first off overall because I want to concentrate on Tom Cruise. I just saw Oppenheimer. I apologize for stalling you out over the last couple of days. I had to go see Oppenheimer. I saw it.
Okay. That's all right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's Barbie mixed in. There's animation. There's a lot of movies. Overall.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, great movie. Would you say it was a great summer for movies overall?
I think it was an okay summer in terms of quality. Some great films, some great indie films, smaller films. A few of the blockbusters worked, a lot of them didn't. In terms of box office, thanks to Barbenheimer and a few others, the box office was pretty strong this summer.
The comfort zone of people going back to the movies. Again, many of us have been back to the movies. Some who are listening and watching the podcast, maybe they haven't been back at the level they used to be, but what are you hearing throughout the industry about people just being comfortable going, hey, it's a Tuesday night, it's a Wednesday night in the summer, we got anything planned, let's go to the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's back. I think that mentality for a lot of people, even older people, this time last year, Top Gun Maverick was the first movie a lot of older people had gone to in about 3 years. So I think that mentality overall for families especially is back for sure.
And how does a 25-year-old define older people?
We're paying senior prices at the movies, which is fine. I'm for the cheaper the ticket, the better. That's why this National Cinema Day has worked out so well the past 2 years. $3 tickets last year, $4 this year. That's what people want. That's the number one thing. People will go to whatever movie it is if the ticket prices are low.
Yeah, that's a big topic for me because I always think in life I'm great at getting a deal. I'm a Vegas guy. I always want to.
Yes.
On everything I do. And the other night, before we get to Oppenheimer, I go and I walked in with my wife and I'm like, do you have a Regal app? Do you have your app? Because she always gets free this and that. She goes, no, I haven't had it for a while. And I went there and I had a medium popcorn with light butter because I don't eat popcorn without butter, light butter. Yeah, right. And then I saw Dr. Pepper and I ordered a Dr. Pepper and I ordered a large and I came back with a medium popcorn and a large soda, which was enormous. And my wife's like, why didn't you just get the large popcorn, because I said the medium and the soda was $18. $18.
Terrible.
And I go, she goes, 18? She goes, what else did you get? I go, nothing. I got a large Dr. Pepper, a big one, and the medium popcorn. And I think, Jackson, they got to fix that a little bit. I mean, yeah. I know they got to make money there, and it's like any add-on. You know, you're a sports fan, and when you're in upstate New York and you want to go downstate to see a Yankee game or you're going to anywhere, you know that the ticket's going to cost so much, but you're going to spend a lot at the ballpark.
You are, yes. I think theaters needed to make up some money from the lost time when they were closed. But now I think we're far enough back from that where maybe they can start to have some of those concession prices go down a little bit.
Right. And I do like when they have, I'm not a membership guy because I'm a leader, not a follower. I don't join clubs. But I used to belong to the ArcLight because they gave you a free movie for your birthday and you didn't have to go on your birthday.
The club's great.
They are. And the upgrade to the bucket of popcorn, right? You pay for a regular little popcorn. They give you a big popcorn. So that's one way around overspending at the movies.
Yeah. And you get free tickets sometimes. If you have enough points, you can get a free ticket to a movie. So yes, I'm all for jumping in. AMC's got one. Landmarks is brand new, a Landmark loyalty program. So yeah, I'm all in on those.
Let's jump in with Oppenheimer, the global worldwide release, Christopher Nolan. I thought it was fabulous. I gave it 4 out of 5 bricks. The highest rated movies are only 4.5 to me. It could have been a 4.5, but it was long. I love movies that are great. If they're long, it doesn't affect me because a great movie, I don't want it to end. This was just wow, because it was a history lesson for me. Didn't know much about Dr. Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Didn't know much about what was happening after the bomb was dropped, the two bombs were dropped. And then as they brought in and weaved in Robert Downey Jr. into his role, I think a nomination for him easily. I just thought it was a fabulously acted movie. I thought Christopher Nolan, I'm going to hear things and I'm going to see loud booms and all of that. There was some of that. I just thought the acting was tremendous.
Cillian Murphy is outstanding. He deserves to be on Best Actor ballots. He may even win. We'll find out. We got many months to go, but you're with him the entire time. If you're glued to him, then you're going to have quite an experience. I don't love the movie quite as much as you as a whole. It is long. It's very talky. It goes on a long time. I don't think there's as much depth to that Robert Downey Jr. performance as a lot of other people have been saying, but I am thrilled for Emily Blunt, who may finally get an Oscar nomination. She's never had one, but gosh, if there was ever a chance, now is the time. She was very good. And Matt Damon was okay. It has its moments. I don't think it's thrilling and compelling throughout, and I have some story structure issues, but Cillian Murphy, wow, what a performance.
Well, were you good with going back and telling the story and going back to what was happening to Dr. Oppenheimer as a young student who was traveling through Europe to sit down with the best physicists in the world, and as he's trying to figure out his form of physics and what he's going to do in that world and be one of the all-time greats? There's an Albert Einstein piece in the movie, which is fabulous to me. And then the next thing you know, I love the pressure and the countdown for the war as Hitler and the Nazis were developing this. And then, Tom, they were trying to tie in, well, wait a second. Remember, that's when the Russians were our allies.
Right.
And we knew the Russians were bad people. And we knew if we gave them our secrets, let alone try to keep their spies out of our labs, that would eventually, Jackson, come back to haunt us. I thought they did a brilliant job, Nolan, in piecing that story together of how complicated that time was building the bomb.
Yeah, I like the middle hour of Oppenheimer the most, the lead up to the bombs and the testing and making that work. A lot of the trial aspects to me, not as compelling, not as interesting. I've seen a lot of movies lately. Golda, the Helen Mirren film where she plays Golda Meir. Her also on trial, looking back on her actions and should she be charged for her actions. It's the same kind of deal with Oppenheimer. I don't think that's quite as thrilling, exciting, interesting, or powerful as what Oppenheimer was actually doing. So I like the lead up, the talkiness, not as much of a fan of.
Golda Meir, born and raised in Kentucky, fun fact. Now, I want to know this. What were the structure issues you had with Oppenheimer?
The back and forth was a little much. The going back and forth from black and white to color was a little much. The timeline was a little odd. Early, the scenes with Florence Pugh, I couldn't get into the momentum fully. So yes, not his best movie, Nolan, I still believe, is Dunkirk. I still believe Dunkirk is Christopher
God,
Nolan.
God, what a great movie.
It is. The way he structured that with the three storylines and how it all came together at the end and that power punch of emotion, I think succeeds more than the structure here in Oppenheimer.
Well, what I love about Christopher Nolan is he just dropped Rami Malek in. Oh, nothing. Academy Award winner for Best Actor playing Freddie Mercury. I like Jack Quaid in the movie. And then also my wife couldn't believe whatever happened to Josh Hartnett. He had a big role in this movie. Where was this guy for the last 15 years in movies? So I love the fact that they were adding in actors throughout the movie that I was saying, oh, wait a second. This is a big moment in the movie, maybe the biggest, and it's Casey Affleck. And I love that Nolan had the ability to put that together. What is that like when filmmakers go out to actors like this and say, you will not be the star of the movie? We have Cillian Murphy to do that. But we're going to bring you in some type of ensemble piece. What's that like?
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to be in a Christopher Nolan movie. Right. So everybody's going to say yes or reunite with him. Gary Oldman. I think the Gary Oldman scene in this is very good.
Truman.
Yes.
He played Truman in the White House.
I know.
Gary Oldman. It was unbelievable.
Right. Who was so good as Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour. I'm glad he won the Academy Award for that. So, yeah, it's everybody wants to jump in. Everybody wants to be a part of this. And Universal, look, Warner Brothers was with Nolan for 20 years with all his movies. He went to Universal now with this and look at what it's done. And maybe he'll stick with them for the next movie. We'll have to see.
Jackson Murphy joins us on the podcast, JT and Looney, as we look at the summer blockbusters. Just a few more on Oppenheimer because award season's far away. I just think there were some great acting performances here. Do you think this is going to be one of the movies, and you don't love it, that's going to have 10, 11 nominations, Best Picture, Director, Actor? I think Downey is your Best Supporting Actor right now. You got Downey there. You could have a Best Supporting Actress, as we talked about some of the other actresses here. Does it have the feel that the Academy is going to look at a movie like this and say it was such a smart movie and a big budget movie, we're going to reward it?
I think, and the older, I'll use that phrase again, the older Academy members, yes, will also jump in on this, and some of the younger ones as well. I do think, especially with other movies dropping out now, moving to next year, like Dune Part 2, that took away a lot of slots, or opens up a lot of slots in the technical categories, whether it's makeup and hair, or costume design, or production design, visual effects. So yes, I think Oppenheimer could be a Best Picture nominee, one of the 10. Director, he's never won. His first nomination was Dunkirk, so we'll see. Cillian Murphy's got to be in there. Emily Blunt. Downey Jr. probably will get in at this point. And then, yeah, the writing and the music, Will probably be nominated. Yeah, it could get double digits.
When it comes to Academy Award nominations and Academy Award winners, when you cheer for someone to win, are you looking for someone who has a performance? Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm performing! Or someone who has a more seamless, realistic style?
So I guess it's the performance. I mean, that's the fun part about the award season is you're rooting for people based on the performances than the films that you like the most. So you're going along that ride. That's why
it's some actors don't like the word performance.
Right. Because they want to be more immersive and sink themselves in. But yeah, you're rooting, I think, more of liking the performance than the person. But if you have a personal connection to a certain person that's nominated, in respect, then yes, I think you root for them too. That's an interesting question. Yeah.
It's Lights, Camera, Jackson for everybody. It's a must follow. LCJ Reviews. He's been a friend of ours for a long time, a legendary movie critic. Sat down on the couch with Jay Leno, was real dear friends with Regis Philbin, who I recently saw on Facebook. You posted his passing again on the anniversary of his death. You always make sure you remind everybody of how great Regis was to you.
Yes, and this year I decided to go to where he is buried. He is buried at Notre Dame. And so went to Indiana.
Oh, my God.
His beloved Notre Dame. He is buried at the cemetery there. And I went there to see the grave on the third anniversary of his passing. And it was something I felt like I had to do. And it was nice to be able to do that. Regis was an incredible friend and an influence on my life.
Well, we'll go into that a little bit because, you know, I know one of the reasons you had to do it. It's the right thing to do. But it's because you knew him. Why did you have to?
It's something I felt like needed to have, bucket list kind of thing. I realized, you know, if I have the chance and I had a few day window to go to Indiana, stop by Cleveland for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and some other places, thought, you know what, on the anniversary, I have the time to do it on the day.
It's a micro question, Jackson. Tell the listener, both of them, why you needed to go and what he did for you, how he was to you.
Regis inspired me, along with the late Roger Ebert, who was incredible as well. Regis inspired me to get into broadcasting, television, talking about movies, interviewing people, sharing my opinions, just being myself in front of the camera or in front of a microphone. And as a friend, we had met up on many occasions. I sort of knew the last time I saw him, had a feeling, you know, if this was the last time, it felt like a good last time. And that was a couple years prior. So, yes, to be able to go to Notre Dame, a place he loved, a place that has a theater, performing arts center named after him there, a place he loved, a football team that he loved, and being at that campus for the first time, which is incredible. It's something I had to do, I needed to do, I wanted to do, and I'm so glad I did it.
I'm happy you shared that with us. Jackson Murphy is our guest, our summertime series of podcasts, JT and Looney, as we wrap it up. And we wanted to talk mostly about movies here, but Regis had an impact on you. He was a mentor to you. You saw the campus for the first time and you tied in Regis. That's very important. A lot of people tie in that campus for the first time because they see a performance or they go to a Notre Dame football game. You did it for the right reasons. Bravo.
Thank you.
I have a bit that I worked on. I don't do a lot of bits.
Wow.
I worked it out. I worked it out in a pool. I'm very comfortable in a swimming pool.
Right.
It's 108 degrees as we...
You were a legendary swimmer at your high school.
I was a very good swimmer growing up. So I'm in the pool with my wife and a bunch of friends. And
you used to groom long before everyone else.
I did. I shaved down. So we're sitting there in the pool and we're talking about movies, having a conversation like this. And I got very vocal and very animated when I said, Tom Cruise is now officially the greatest actor of all time. Everybody looked at me and said, what'd you say? I go, it's over. And they said, what do you mean? And I was prepared to tell them, the movies and the dramatic pieces he's in are some of the greatest I've ever seen. Ron Kovic on the 4th of July. Ron Kovic's from my hometown. A Massapequa. A Few Good Men. Right? Then we go to some of the great movies that he's ever done. I'm just talking dramatic roles in Rain Man.
Rain Man.
He really should have been an Academy Award.
Beautiful movie.
The Academy failed him. But then when he saved the movies with Top Gun, we get it. But when I saw Mission Impossible, and when he did the motorcycle stunt off the mountain, okay, and practiced it, and then free-falled with a parachute and landed it, it wasn't someone he handed off to in the sky who landed for him. He did it on his own. I said that Stallone could never do this. Schwarzenegger could never do this. Nobody could ever do this. So I think he has the chops of De Niro. He has the chops of Brando. He has the chops of my favorite, Daniel Day-Lewis and Tom Hanks.
And none of them could ever do it.
None of them could ever do this. So, Jackson, I have moved Tom Cruise not only into the Mount Rushmore, I'm calling him, in my opinion, the greatest actor of all time.
Wow, what a statement. He's up there. I think he is for his contributions to cinema and for his acting. Jerry Maguire as well. What a great film. Even Rock of Ages a decade ago, he was just fearless. He is fearless when it comes to acting, movie making, telling stories.
What was it, Magnolia? What was the one with the raining frogs where he played?
Magnolia, he was in Magnolia. So he is the movie star. He is still a movie star, but this Mission Impossible movie, which I thought the last one should have been the last one. This one I thought was just okay and didn't make a lot of money because it got overshadowed by Barbenheimer. So his star meter, which was so high last summer with Top Gun Maverick, has come down a little bit because of the underperformance of Mission Impossible.
Well, wait a second. We've had De Niro do some of the worst comedies in the history of cinematic theater. We've seen duds for Tom Cruise. Nothing against Otto, but we've seen a good movie. But we've seen Cruise put together a library of some of the great dramatic performances. I want to get back to the stunts. He's doing his own stunts that are visibly impossible, life-threatening and dangerous. And he's doing it now all the time. So if he just did it once and it was the biggest send-off of his career, his Evel Knievel moment, I get it. But Jackson, he's doing it in every movie and he's carrying these movies. I think that's a big part of being a cinema legend.
And how are they going to get him an Academy Award? Is it really going to just be a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yes. It will, because...
But there's nothing wrong with, but still, I it would be nice if it was for a film.
It would. I don't think he's going to do many dramatic, unless he makes a career shift and says, I'm finally done with these action movies for a while. I'm going to do a dramatic role, then maybe, but I don't think that's going to happen in the next 5 years. So it will be a career achievement Academy Award.
So he's not going to make a shift and play Groucho Marx in a film or anything.
I don't think unless somebody says, Tom, it's time, but he's so focused on these action movies still, I think that's where he's at.
Okay. Wow.
All right, I did not go see Barbie. I did not. My wife went, and the girls had a girls' night out.
By the way, what did your wife think? Because your wife's a good movie critic.
Yeah, my wife liked it. She liked it.
Because your wife told me to go see The Devil Wears Prada. I never would have gone to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Great movie,
and now I can watch it anytime it's on television. I didn't go see Barbie, and I'm assuming your wife would tell me to go. People have been telling me to go. Why should we go?
Yeah, what worked, Jackson, with Barbie? Why was it like the perfect storm with Oppenheimer? Why did those two movies work, especially Barbie, that movie's done better than Oppenheimer, correct?
Right, yeah. Barbie, a phenomenon. The marketing for Barbie was insane. Yeah. People had in their minds this contrast of movies, but the need to see both on this date. Both of these movies had this date secured for over a year. So it was the buildup and the anticipation of I need to see both and I need to see both on the same day, which I did. I went to Barbie at one theater at 3:00. I went to Oppenheimer at another theater at 7:00.
Oh, you did it. Great.
I did Barbenheimer. I did it in the order that is the correct order. You should see Barbie first, and then you should see Oppenheimer second.
Okay.
I wanted to get the comedy in and then experience the drama. I didn't love Barbie. I think it's very preachy. It's very in-your-face social messages. And the messages themselves are fine, but the way they are just thrown in your face, it's overwhelming. It's too much. It's repetitive. It's over and over again. There are also sections that are just not funny. There are sections that are quirky and interesting and different. There's a couple scenes with Rhea Perlman that I think are interesting. But as a whole, I didn't want to go to a Barbie movie to be taught like a school lesson or to learn a lot. I want to have a good time and relax and party, Barbie. Have fun. This is a movie where it's like, sit down and let me tell you what's going on. That was Greta Gerwig's motivation.
A lot of people are saying, how dare you use a movie like this with two gorgeous stars, male and female, and make it preachy and have a message when you know children are going to the movie. Adults are going to accompany the children to the movie. You're getting older. You're 25 now. You started this out as an adolescent, and you felt like they were kind of pushing something at you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. And the movie's not for kids. It's really not. Anybody under 10, 11, is not going to understand the layers and layers and layers that Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach want to express about women versus men in society, about cultural identity, about a place in society for everyone, about values. So yes, there's so much of that. This movie is not for kids, and there's some innuendo, and there's a little bit of language. Ooh. So yeah, it's not a kids movie.
Well, sounds most movies aren't kids movies. Look, most movies aren't kids movies. We've got social messaging. We're grooming kids all the time that war is normal, that shooting people is normal, and we're worried about Barbie. We're worried about Barbie, and look at how we've groomed kids for 50 years that war is normal and war is glamorous. And
we have a successful film critic here, and part of his job is to tell us what the experience is like going to a movie.
Yeah, well, part of my job as a talk show host is to get up on a soapbox.
Well, I thought Jackson for a moment that was talking about ESPN when he was talking about ESPN Disney there for a second. Wink, wink. But you know, a very important part of what you said about Barbie, and you didn't love Oppenheimer, and you didn't love Mission Impossible, is the job of a movie critic, especially as good as you, is to encourage me to go see a movie at all cost, especially now coming off of COVID. It's your job to say, please, please spend your money and go to this film, or go out of your way and say, please do not go to this film. A, you're wasting your money. You, the critic, has credibility to save some money, and then you have to back it up with a message, and you did that right there.
Well, I also think it's your job to tell us exactly how you feel. More than telling us to go to the movie, you're not the economic czar for the United States of America to tell us. But I remember when Roger Ebert, this will be a long question, but with a great story, because I know you love Roger, he saw Jackass and he was so embarrassed because he laughed through the entire movie and he loved Jackass. And as a full grown ass man, probably in his 60s or 70s, he had to look into the camera and say, I loved this movie and I was missing jokes because I was laughing so long at the previous joke. And that is your job, to more than provide economics for the movie industry, is to watch a movie and tell us how you feel.
Well, yeah, it's both. It is. Okay. Yeah. It's right. How do I feel? And it's, look, everybody's got, you know, money is tight. Money is tight. Some people only go to a movie once a year, twice a year, once a month, whatever the case may be, or the streaming services, which keep going up, 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 up per month. Save your money. Don't watch this one. Wait for this one. Wait for this on DVD, rental, whatever the case may be. It's funny. I was watching a part of a movie again the other night, RV with Robin Williams. That's one of those movies where it's so outrageously dumb and ridiculous. But I remember with my mother on Mother's Day 2006, just laughing so hard while watching this movie. Oh. The whole theater was crazy. It's a ridiculous movie, but it's a funny movie. So yes, those do happen.
Right.
Well, as we mentioned streaming there, as we got the 10-minute warning here, as we look at streaming going forward, I chopped the cord. I no longer am a DirecTV household. That took a lot. Wow. I'm just used to my remote, my channels. So we're YouTube TV, your demographic, and my son's, and now I'm breaking into YouTube TV. I have a sweat every time I grab the remote. Don't know exactly how to do it. I stream The Bear on FX, this culinary show, which I think is going to just run away with the Emmys, a brilliant show. I'm streaming more and more documentaries. I'm waiting for movies to come on the streaming services. I'm a big HBO Max, which is now Max. Looney hates that. We already did a podcast.
Makes no
sense.
How did
you work so hard to get HBO and then change it to Max?
Yeah, Coca-Cola changing its name to Pepsi.
Right.
This is already a Cinemax. What do you mean? What do you mean, Max? Okay, don't get me.
Jackson, tell everybody on the way out, what are some of your streaming services that you can't live without?
That's a good question. I'm fortunate as a member of the press to have complimentary access to many of those, or many of the films that come, which is nice. You know, it's tough because a lot of good quality shows are on all the different ones. And a lot of people got to pick and choose. I think some will absorb into others. I do think Hulu will absorb into Disney Plus within the next 2 years. I think it's going to happen. I don't know how many others are going to survive. I know Peacock is struggling. They're all struggling. Warner is a mess right now. Overall.
So you can't say Peacock sucks because they give you free Peacock?
I can't say Max is terrible because I just got complimentary access to Max for being a critic's choice. But I do think Warner is not in a great financial state right now. That's how I'll word that. Okay. Yeah, so it's tough for families. I mean, Disney Plus is good, but it's tough. Apple's got some good, you know, you got to pick and choose because it's tough. It's tough. I think some will absorb into each other or go away, though, in the next few years. I think they have to.
What I'm proud of with you and our friendship here is you're only 25. You've been a film critic for a long time, and you got through this COVID era, which had to be scary at one point, taking away your life. Not only as a film critic, but someone who loves films going, you knew in the back of your mind, correct, they weren't going to take away films away. You knew you were going to go back to the theater, but at what point was it the lowest point where you said, wow, I mean, I actually don't know what's going to happen next?
Wow. We're getting deep here. Yeah, it was interesting because I didn't know when the theaters were coming back. I think once the first vaccine was announced, think the confidence started to rise and could go, okay, the confidence for enough people to come back will be there. But yeah, it was a little uneasy for a little bit, but I remember second or third weekend going, all right, there's still some movies that the streamers are putting out and then that people just have to find. And then when Trolls World Tour was taken from theaters to a direct VOD, Universal said, we're putting this on VOD, we need it for families, which was only like the fourth week into the pandemic. I thought, okay, we're going to change the dynamic of the movies, but we have to do this for right now. I'm going to roll with it and we're going to see what happens. So I don't think there was too much uncertainty overall of would movies go away. The theatrical experience was a little more up in the air, but it was just about rolling with this new streaming simultaneous world.
That is good life advice. No matter what's happening, especially if you can't change it, roll with it. See what happens.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the first Academy Awards, when it was at the different place and there were only a few people, you just got to roll with it. And we had to see how it was going to go. That award season, you know, everybody will go along with something once. If you ask people to do something a little different a second time, but just rolling with it to see what happens.
I'm doing the same with pronouns, you guys. I'm just rolling with it. I love words. Hey, there's new words.
Well, that doesn't affect you, believe me. Pronouns, you have your language. You have no language barrier.
Language police.
Last one. I think it's a good way to end on this with the writer's strike. I was just in Los Angeles with Tom. It's affecting everyone, not just the writers in the studios and the shows, but the grips and the florists and the dry cleaners. Everybody is affected by this. Cannot believe it. There are a lot of people hurting. There are some shows that aren't on TV. I don't miss Jimmy Kimmel. I don't miss Jimmy Fallon. I don't miss Stephen Colbert for a lot of reasons. And there's now live shows that you don't have to have 12 writers. People are just going out there looking into a camera like us, and they're talking and they're making entertainment. What is your big takeaway on how this strike ends? How do they come together so we can get back to normalcy again?
Yeah. Well, no one can agree on anything in this world anymore. So, of course, this is going to go on and on and on. It truly will. It's a tough spot for a lot of people. The writer's strike, the actor's strike. I think the writer's one will be resolved before the actor's one, which may not be until the holidays. I think at the holiday point, people are going to go, they're going to have the holidays on their mind. They want a resolution. They want a happy ending to this, and it will be resolved. How? They're just going to have to compromise on some things and move on, but have it be fair enough for everybody involved. It's tough. It's tough for everybody. It is. And more movies played.
It would be nice. And it's something we have to get back to in our culture in general overall, that if we don't agree on something, it doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Right.
And whether it's politics or the unions and the owners and the producers, we have to come to a common ground. These are all human beings here with bills to pay and careers that they enjoy or jobs they enjoy. And finding common ground is always really important rather than pitching the other person as the enemy because they disagree.
Well, if there wasn't a good strike, we wouldn't have Hoffa. We wouldn't have Norma Rae and Sally Fields standing with the sign in the factory. If you're looking at me, no prop here. So strikes happen.
If there wasn't a strike, we would never have had Cops. If there wasn't a writer's strike or the Kardashians, what would we do?
Reality TV, game shows, they thrived with COVID and now they're thriving again because this is what's allowed to still be on television.
Yeah,
right now.
And the writer's strike in 87 brought us Cops. Said, hey, what was that show? You know, if guys at Fox were like, what was that with the guy wired around the back seat of a car with a camera? And that's how we ended up with Cops. And that's when other people got ideas for A lot of reality shows.
Fox now that Skip Bayless is a $6 million a year moderator, yelling at Richard Sherman and others to try to get a word in. Jackson, where can everybody find you? You're one of the most successful critics with Upside. We love what you do. How can all of our viewers and listeners find you?
Thank you. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, at LCJ Reviews, Instagram at LightsCamJackson. The website is lights-camera-jackson.com, and a lot of great interviews with a lot of animation makers and more at Podbean, lcj.podbean.com, with the LCJ Q&A podcast and animationscoop.com.
Wow. Ask him to talk about himself and he becomes 10 times more articulate than he already is.
He is very good. Thanks, my friend. Thanks for wrapping up our summertime series. Just summertime with JT and Looney. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to all 33 minutes and 33 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast. Powered by Bet Online, where the game starts.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.